interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now
let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, March 21 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. You know we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room. And I believe we're 1 week removed from Rhythms on the River. But they got you covered here with live music after I'm done. More on that momentarily. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Survive in advance. That's all this time of year is about. And LSU played the most LSU game of all time earlier today. They don't like a big spread. They like to keep it close. And so despite an 18-point lead at the half, despite Skylar Mays playing one of his best games in a hot minute, LSU let Yale back in. The Bulldogs couldn't hit the side of a barn, couldn't put it in the ocean from deep until it mattered, right? And then the smart kids in the Ivy League started playing 3 for 2, 3 for 2. And I bet you started to sweat just a little bit. Hell, you probably sweat a lot. But in the end, LSU did what LSU a lot more often than not this year has done. They won. And now they'll get the victor of Belmont and Maryland. And as we speak, 9:06 to play in the ballgame. Belmont 57, Maryland 58. And so truly a matchup that's on the cusp. Tiger fans, you don't know when you will play Saturday. You don't know who you will play Saturday. You just know that you will play on Saturday. This time of year, that's the only thing that matters. We love to hear from you. Opening half hour of the show, I have a very cool announcement to make, and I'll do that at the end of this segment. I'll also give you the drop on our guest list today, the full three-hour tour on this Tournament Thursday edition of B2BS. You want to chime in? Like I said, we got space. 706-0111. What'd you think of LSU's win over Yale? Where'd you watch it from? How did you get over on your boss to take this game in when you were supposed to be doing work? You can call us, let us know. You can drop the alias. We're not narking on anybody today. Hell, it's tournament time. Come on now. This isn't 1996. Not everybody has to watch it on a television. We've all got our handhelds, right? We've all got our different methods. I'm just curious what yours has been. And while we're waiting on those calls, I'll go a little deeper on LSU hoops because I think something I heard Cody Worsham tell Jordy Holtberg maybe about an hour ago on the Jordy Holtberg show made a hell of a lot of sense to me, and I've heard it before come tourney time. Not just the big dance, the NIT, SEC tournament, any conference tournament, frankly, when you play in a gym, especially a gym that's not always, you know, meant to be a gym, when they play it in football stadiums and they block off half of it, a third of it, anytime you play in these big cavernous spaces, I thought it was really interesting what Cody Worsham said. The idea that one side looked very open and the other looked very closed off, right? That you were looking almost at more of a dome side on the other and, as you're more accustomed to, seats and butts in the seats on the other side. It is a very different world when you're shooting into one of those than the other. But LSU, as we saw in the Florida game, came out pretty hot in this one. Got out to that 18-point lead. Marlon Taylor, Skylar Mays, looking awfully good. Probably wasn't the best performance you'll see from, arguably, LSU's best two players. Trey Waters and Naz Reid. And that's the good news. If you can win when you're not collectively at your best, that is what the big dance is about. Don't believe me? Ask Auburn. You don't think their fans were sweating buckets for the game that they played? After just winning the SEC tournament, Auburn played an absolute nail-biter. And there's no other way to describe it, but what the Tiger slash War Eagle slash Plainsman had to go through to survive over New Mexico State, They tried to give that thing away late as well. Can you imagine being up 2 points and fouling a three-point shooter with less than 2 seconds to play? What in the name of Les Miles is going on with that? But Auburn wins their game. LSU wins theirs. And we've still got madness going on everywhere. And we're watching it all at the Tap Room River Ranch. The scores I can give you so far, for those of you that haven't been able to get over on the Boss, you haven't seen a thing. And heck, if you're listening to this show, there's no chance you're on media blackout. I'm not sure that exists in 2019. But LSU wins 79-74 over Yale. You know that. Belmont currently up 60-58. Obviously, the Tigers will get the winner of that one Saturday. Time TBD. In the same portion of the bracket, and this has been one of the games everybody was, I think, very much looking forward to for maybe some humor purposes, Minnesota with Richard Pitino beating Louisville. You may recall formerly coached by Rick Pitino. That game in Des Moines, Iowa, earlier today in Minnesota, in the heart of Big Ten country, pulled off an 86-76 mild upset. Now, here's what's interesting. Again, this is LSU's portion of the bracket, East Region. Minnesota is going to take on the winner of Michigan State and Bradley. Now, there's finally a little separation, that bad boy, but, boy, not a whole lot. 2:05 to play in the game. Michigan State, a 2-seed, leads 15-seed Bradley, 63-57. So there's the potential for some real upheaval in LSU's little half of the East Regional. I mean, seriously, if Belmont and Bradley pulled this thing off, LSU would be the only non-double-digit seed left. And so Tiger fans right now rooting like hell, I would imagine, for Bradley. They couldn't tell you where Bradley is on a map, but they're rooting for him. I don't think there's any question about it. Let's go through the rest of the scores we got. Florida State, 76-69 victors over Vermont. This is in the West Regional. The Seminoles will get the winner of Marquette and Murray State. And those Racers, they're up 18-10 early in the first half. Going down now, past the South bracket, they haven't had a game start yet. In the Midwest bracket, Auburn, we told you, 78-77 winners over New Mexico State. And they'll get the winner, Auburn will, of Kansas and Northeastern. 1:53 to play in the first half. Kansas up on Northeastern, a 4-13 game. The score is 35-24. That's all the action we know about for now. But we do know there's plenty more coming. And before I give you the guest list, let me get to the announcement now. I'm not often at much of a loss for words, but this has been an incredible day. Bumper to Bumper Sports, at about 12:45 this afternoon, was named the 2018 Best Sports Radio Show in our fair state. It was an award bestowed on me and Clint Domang at the Prestige Awards, and we were honored by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters. Let me give you the very blunt truth. Radio means nothing if no one's listening. Radio means nothing if nobody's interacting. And so I refer to YP all the time. You people out there in listener land, let me tell you one thing. A lot of bouquets being thrown toward me, the famous Clint D today. Hell, we're not going to swat them away, but we need to throw one very large bouquet to all of Acadiana. You people out there in listener land make this show what it is day after day. And since May 26th of 2015, we do our best to keep it fresh. We do our best to keep the guest list at an elite level. And that's absolutely been a part of our success. But all of you out there are the biggest part of our success. Thank you for making this show what it is. Yes, we're honored. No, I'm not going on a list of thank yous right now. There's just the one on air today. And it's to you. Thank you for helping Bumper to Bumper Sports achieve what we have. Here's the good news. We ain't going nowhere. It's only going to get better. And speaking of elite guests, speaking of better, here's who's joining me today. In about 18 minutes, Hunt Palmer, Outside the Box, as well as Hoops with Hunt podcasting. We'll talk to him about LSU's win in Jacksonville. Chris Reed, professional pinch hitter, and his heroics last night at the box, and LSU's matchup in Athens this weekend on the diamond. Hunt will be our only guest at the 4 o'clock hour. From 5 to 5:30, Jeff Horchek, KLFY, coming aboard. And he, his crew, award winners today, too. Seriously, Paspa, too, brought home some hardware. I'm going to throw him a bouquet. Let him tell you all about it. Jeff will be with us 5 until 5:30. And then at 6:15, we're going down to Florida, but we're going to talk about the Houston Astros. Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle going all in on Alex Bregman's big deal and what he sees so far from an Astros pitching staff that starts elite, right? Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole. Just where does it go after that? We'll ask Chandler that and more 2 hours from right now. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Thrilled today to be broadcasting as the best sports radio show in Louisiana. Even happier to be at the Tap Room River Ranch. Come join us when you get a chance. And on the way, keep listening to 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back into the place to be this Thursday night, every Thursday night. It's the Tap Room River Ranch, and we are Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Let's have some fun with this segment. We'd love for you to call in. We've got a question that's coming up for you. And yes, all of us collectively here in Acadiana accomplished something pretty cool today. So we can explore that space and plenty more. CD, the music, and then I actually have a question. Exciting and new. LSU escaped late. A comeback effort from Yale. Who cares? They won. This time of year, you need six dubs. Stack them however you can. The Tigers will take on either Belmont or Maryland on Saturday. Again, we don't even know the time. But at this point, again, who cares? They're playing in the round of 32. My question for you today, and I don't want to see any erasers, any pins scratching through. I don't want any amendments. The question is simple. How far did you have LSU advancing in your bracket? 706-0111. CD, you can lead us off.
You know, I had them going to the Sweet 16, coming up short against Michigan State. And I talked about it a little bit on Monday. If this was Will Wade coach team, I'd probably say they're an Elite Eight team, going to face off against Duke there and probably get stopped at that point. Because to me, it just feels like Maryland and Belmont don't necessarily scare me a whole lot, regardless of who's going to come out of that matchup. I just feel like once you go up against a team like Michigan State, of course, if they make it, I think you're going to wind up getting stopped because Michigan State has been a really good team this year.
And I had them at the same juncture. But today has to make you scratch your head at least a little bit. For me, it does. Now, I don't like to go too much round by round. I don't like to base the way a team will play in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight round, off of how they came out of the blocks, especially when they play an early afternoon, or in LSU's case, a late morning game, to start off the madness. But Michigan State isn't inspiring a world of confidence right now. Does look like Sparty will pull away. They're up 10 points. It's 75-65, and they're shooting free throws with 14.4 seconds left. So Tom Izzo, the Spartans, they will advance. But wow, did Bradley hang around for quite some time. So I'm not going to give you an amendment. I told you that I wouldn't. What I will say is this. I had them to the Sweet 16. I think LSU likely could and would beat either Belmont or Maryland. I agree with what I heard Cody Warsham of LSU Sports say earlier on the Jordy Holtberg show. I would prefer LSU matchup with Belmont just because of the caliber of athlete at Maryland and because they like to slow it down a little bit. They're not as successful as Florida at doing that. But for that matter, neither was Georgia. But they played a similar style, and Georgia was not a comfortable matchup for LSU, not in Baton Rouge, nor in Athens. So I'd rather see LSU match up with Belmont, who likes to get up and down and won't have the caliber of athlete. Still, all that said, I think the Tigers could beat either. And after the way today has gone, I know LSU wasn't convincing. They hardly ever are. But if they can get into a game with Tom Izzo, do I think they can win? Yes. Do I still believe that they will? Probably not. And I give some of the edge to Izzo, and I think that makes that big of a difference. Don't you? the idea of Tony Benford on the other side, again, we talk about inspiring confidence. That doesn't generate a bunch of it. But I will tell you this. I got a text as soon as that game ended from somebody that is inside that LSU circle. Not somebody who's a decision maker, but somebody who usually knows the score. And I don't mean the scoreboard. And this person kind of asked aloud via text, are we sure that Tony Benford couldn't be a long-term replacement, right? Are we sure that he couldn't possibly work his way from interim into the head coach after this season? So that told me one thing, that it's being appreciated, the job he's doing. Yes, we know. He's coached three games so far. They lost one of them to Florida, mini meltdown in South Louisiana. But the reality is they took care of business on their home floor against Vandy. They beat a Yale team that's got an NBA player on it, and they withstood a very late and somewhat scary run. It doesn't really look that much different than some of the Will Wade coach teams, does it? Now it could, and it likely will. If you come up against Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski, we all know what's coming behind door number two or three. But that text was interesting to me. I hadn't really given a lot of credence to the idea that Tony Benford was LSU's next head coach. And a lot of that depends on what happens to the program, right? I don't want to put pins in the balloon today on what could come in the way of sanctions, probation. Today's not about that. Today is about a victory in the NC2A tournament for the first time in a decade, quite literally. This doesn't happen often. We could celebrate. We could discuss. But for that to happen, you know, it takes we. It takes us. Give us a shout. We got three or four more minutes in this segment. 706-0111. While we're waiting, a reminder, tomorrow I am going to get back out to Lutrieoff Golf Course and Country Club. I'll do my best during the program today to give you some reminders. Yeah, that PGA Tour app is pretty sweet. So we'll peep that. We'll give you some scores, and we'll do our best to keep you abreast on a signature sporting event from around Acadiana. The other thing at this point, I was going to bring this up whenever it was appropriate. I've got a little space. We'll fill it. What's interesting to me, and again, I've been lucky enough in my career and fortunate enough, talented enough, whatever, combination of the things, a couple of statewide writing awards as well, as I was a beat writer covering LSU. And the one that really stood out even to the people who judged it was a story on Tim Quarterman and the loss of a friend who was murdered in Savannah, Georgia. And I distinctly remember getting that award for the best sports feature in Louisiana probably about 5 years ago, and had a relationship at that point with Tim Quarterman, right? I mean, not saying we were boys, but you cover somebody, you get to know them a little bit, they bare their soul on a story like that, you get to know someone is all I'm saying. So I shared that with him, and I thanked him. So in this moment, one of the things I intend to do, and I will right now, I'm going to thank Mondo Duplantis, because you apply for an award like this, and it really is pretty simple. You have to have a compilation of your show. How do you boil down a year's show into 5 minutes? I'll tell you what I did. I took about a two-minute clip from my interview with Mondo Duplantis last year from the Beaver Club Relays. I think it's one of the most poignant we've ever had on this show. I think it was, and forgive me, Mondo, you world record setter, you. However old you were last spring we did the interview, you were either 17 or 18, but for a kid that young to spit that kind of fire at the LHSAA as they were about to ban him from competing in his state championships for Lafayette High because he wanted to participate, was invited to participate in the Texas Relays in Austin, pretty powerful stuff. If we get a chance later in the show, I want to run back some of that interview. There's a specific portion I've got in mind, but anytime that you're put in a position to tell a story, yeah, it's great if you got the chops to do it, and I can. But most importantly, you have to have a story to tell. And so, Mondo, thank you for sharing yours and telling yours with us on this show and on this station. Just something I wanted to do today. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, thank you for waiting. What you got?
What's up, man? First of all, congratulations on y'all award, man. That's pretty awesome. So congrats to you and Clint and everybody that had a part in that.
Thank you, sir.
Secondly, no problem. I was just a hypothetical since I love them so much. What do you think it would take out of this LSU team, barring any Will Wade craziness, which is going to happen, I'm sure, what do you think it would take to get Benford to be the new head coach? How far would they have to go for them to even consider it. So I'll hang up and listen, man. Y'all have a good one.
You too, Tim. And isn't it weird to try and quantify that by wins in an NCAA tournament? But I think the recent past tells us it's not that crazy, right? Didn't Ed Orgeron basically have to do the same thing? LSU lost to Wisconsin, lost last second quite literally to Auburn on the road in 2016. Miles was fired, and boom, Orgeron rattles off an incredibly strong finish to the regular season, and there's no question that helped propel him to get the job. It wasn't just about cost saving. They wanted a guy they thought could do the job. And as an interim, Ed proved that he was worthy of consideration. Now, don't get me wrong, they obviously still thought about some other candidates, I would imagine, during that time frame. But the job went to Ed. He had a trial period, and he proved his point. Tony Benford's got his. Tim, I'm not sure it's as easy as saying you have to get to the Elite Eight, but I would say that getting to the Elite Eight would put him in a strong spot to do exactly what Orgeron did, right? Because getting to the Elite Eight, I know we've got madness going on everywhere. That almost certainly means beating Michigan State. I'm going to tell you right now, if you beat the Big Ten champ on a stage where they're used to winning some of these big-time games and you're not, that would prove a hell of a point. So I think getting there makes him a front runner as opposed to going out and finding somebody that'll live with the sanctions, the probations, and coach on. If he doesn't get there, it doesn't mean he's out. But I think you kind of see where the line in the sand is that I'm drawing. Good question from Tim. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Hunt Palmer. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
It's time to watch all the games at Buffalo Wild Wings. Get your friends together for the best big screen hoops experience in town. And remember, weekends start on Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings, where boneless wings are specially priced all day long. Visit BuffaloWildWings.com for your game day location.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. We got a little good news, bad news proposition for you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. The good news, Hunt Palmer's here. We're bringing him on in a hot second. The bad news, Belmont just had a golden opportunity, down one with about 2.5 seconds to play, to maybe put away Maryland. LSU will get the winner of this Belmont-Maryland game, and a backdoor pass from Belmont went awry. Maryland jumped in front of it. They stole the basketball and were fouled. So a little under 3 seconds left to play in that game, 2.5 seconds to be exact. Maryland heading to the free throw line, up by one. I'll keep you updated. All right, let's head out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He is the podcasting guru behind Outside the Box, Hoops with Hunt, both available, 104.5ESPN.com. It is Hunt Palmer. Hunt, you loving the madness yet?
The madness is good, Ben. A couple things before we get started. One, are you currently sitting in a bar watching basketball and talking about sports, getting paid for that, and you're going to call that, you're going to legitimately call that a job?
Everything you just said is true. So I'm basically a grown child who's allowed to drink now. Yes.
And second of all, many, many congrats on the hardware today. Well-deserved, well-earned, and very proud of you, Ben Love.
Hunt, I appreciate that. No truth to the rumor yet that Moscona just didn't apply. But we'll bypass that. And let's get down to brass tacks here. LSU survives a scary game late with Yale. Is that just the way this team's going to play them throughout the tournament? Whether they win or they lose, it's going to be a nail-biter every time?
I think more so it's just, I mean, yeah, they've made a habit out of that. But second of all, that's just what this tournament's about. And it's why when I started the podcast back in the fall and everybody's going, well, how deep can they go? And I'm going, well, you know, how deep did someone think Loyola Chicago could go last year when they asked them in November? If you said a Final Four, you said no. It's just this tournament's fluky. And by the same token that the best player for Yale today couldn't throw it in the ocean, you can get some kid that goes off for 38, and anybody can beat anybody. I mean, Bradley was right there with Michigan State today. I mean, it's just the nature of this tournament, and you take a win any way you can get it. I got a bunch of, like, negative text messages after the game was over, pitiful, or that was no good. Or I'm going, are y'all serious? We haven't won a tournament game in 10 years. I'll take it any way I can. If the whole Yale team gets food poisoning, I'll take it. Like, that was fine with me. Any way you can slice it. Yeah, I would have liked to stretch the 18-point lead to 27 and coast to a win, but they did enough to win.
He's on Palmer, and when he's right, he's right. Let's do one more stop on LSU basketball. For so long, definitely last year, even portions of this year, I think, Hunt, in SEC play, it was thought that this team would go as far as Trey Waters takes them. Do you think it comes down to that in a game this postseason, or are they well-rounded enough to where you're not as concerned with that being a storyline?
It's a lot on him. I'm not saying it's impossible. There are times where Javonte can kind of get where he wants to on the floor and make some runners, and Skyler's a real savvy player, and they offensive rebound real well and can do some things. But honestly, late in the game, there came a time where I'm just looking at it and go, just let Tremont do what he's doing. Like, just let him play. And so they do some other things well, but really, honestly, let's just call it what it is. Tremont's the key that makes this thing go, and they've got to have him or they're just not going to go as far as they could.
I do have to update. I think, sadly, with the final score, Maryland 79, Belmont 77. So it will be LSU-Maryland, a 3-6 matchup Saturday. We still don't know when. So I guess I get some bonus ball with you. Is this the matchup that you would have preferred? Or, like me, are you kind of saying, man, would have been nice to see Belmont?
I don't know how nice it would be to see Belmont. They're pretty good. Maryland's pretty good. At this point, you know, unless Florida Gulf Coast shows up or UMBC or something, everybody from the 11 line down has got some talent, got some players. Bottom line is LSU's better than Belmont and Maryland, and they've got to play well. They've got to play much better than they did in the second half today. So I don't think there was a huge difference between the two. The line was really tight. The game was really tight. They're a little bit different in how they play, but you know, LSU just needs to come out and play a really good game, and then they'll win on Saturday.
Hunt Palmer, our guest on 103.7 The Game on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. How do you respond to the series of events that's been Chris Reed's LSU baseball career for, say, the last 6 months, Hunt?
It's been something to watch. I mean, a lot of people are drawing the comparisons to Austin Vane, and it's not totally far-fetched to link those two together. He's always been – I write a season preview every year, and he's always been a guy that I say – not a ton of tools, but if you put him up there against a guy throwing 98 or against a guy throwing 72, he's going to give you a quality at bat. He's got that to him. He can't run. He can't hit for power. He doesn't have elite quickness. He's an okay defender, but he's got a really short stroke, and he can get the bat to the ball, and he's got an elite eye at the plate, and he has good at bats. So he's been, he's been huge to this team, and I don't know that anybody could have predicted that. And I don't know how long he'd keep it up, but he hit over 300 in SEC play as a sophomore or as a freshman, and I think it's reasonable to think that he can be a piece to this offensive team and be a contributor. I don't know if he's going to stay the streak he's on, but he can help.
Hunt, we're coming up on week two of SEC play, and the pitching rotation in Athens will be Hess, Henry, Walker. That's probably two-thirds of the way people would have drawn it up. Are you comfortable with kind of what they've been forced into so far, and do you think that persists for a couple more weeks?
I thought they took a step forward last week. Now, that was against the Kentucky team that's not very good. I mean, that's the bottom half of the SEC team, and Georgia, it appears to me, at this point, is the top half of the SEC team, if not a top three or four team in the SEC. Kind of, we'll have to see as they move forward. But I was really impressed with what I saw from Hess last week. He was able to shake off a really bad start when he walks the first guy, then they steal a base, then he gives up a hit, then he gives up another hit. Things were real shaky, and you're going, oh, well, here we go again. He can't do it on Friday. Then he steadied the ship and got you through seven innings with one run, and that's what you got to do against other teams' aces, and he did it. And he's capable, and everyone's been, you know, there are a lot of people who have given up on him and think it's ridiculous. He should be the closer. He sucks as a starter. Get him out of there. He's capable of getting outs in the SEC. Right now, I don't see a better option. So hopefully he takes another step forward this week. That would be great. Cole Henry pitching with that massive lead that he did on Saturday. I thought there were some flashes. There were some lapses. But I think he deserves a shot in the rotation. And hopefully he takes another step forward this week as well. And then with Walker, I saw the old Eric Walker for about three innings on Sunday. And then he kind of got into just a little bit of trouble that probably in years past, well, the pulmonary works, let him work through. But when you've got this many quality arms in the bullpen, and you can go to guys like Hilliard and Beck and Peterson, and not in that case, but in other cases, Fontenot, and you've got guys who can get out, there's no reason that a Sunday starter has to work through things and get you deep in the game. Just go to the other guys who are really good. So Walker's coming along, and he can get some outs. I think last weekend was a good confidence boost for the pitchers. But like I said, a lesser team, step up this week when you go play Georgia.
One more, brother. And it wasn't long ago, in fact, very recently, that my alma mater, Georgia, was wildly mediocre, if not outright bad, at baseball. That's not the case this year. What impresses you most about the Bulldogs as LSU's heading to Athens this weekend?
This seems good. You know this. There is absolutely no reason for Georgia to be bad at baseball. I mean, that's just pathetic. And, you know, they've been really good at times, but obviously not of late. This team is good. Emerson Hancock in game one has really been good in his sophomore year. He's missing a ton of bats. He throws hard from the right side. He's really good. You'll see C.J. Smith in game two, left-hander. He's got more strikeouts than innings pitched, which is a stat that I look for in SEC starters. Not the dominant stuff that Hancock has, but he's pretty good. And really this lineup is very balanced. I don't see one guy that I look at in the lineup and go, that's the guy you can't let beat you. But I see a lineup that is very capable of stringing together four or five hits and then putting a big number on the board. And what they did last week on the mound especially, but even at the plate at times in Columbia, was impressive. So this Georgia team looks to me to be for real. And LSU would do very, very well to win two out of three in Athens. That would be an incredible start to conference play if you could do that.
I cannot lie. You made me giggle a little bit there because you're absolutely right. Can't you just take, like, the East Cobb AAU team from right outside of Atlanta and make them the Georgia
baseball
team and they'd win games?
You would have to think so. There's just no excuse for that. And, I mean, they had some good runs, and Dave Parno was over there, and he did a really good job. I think what he got caught into a little bit was he was recruiting too many high-level players, the, like, Byron Buxtons of the world, who were never going to show up. And then all of a sudden he was ended up with the scraps of his recruiting classes, and it kind of ran out of gas. But, yeah, there are so many good baseball players right there. Just get them to Athens and let them play.
There's no question about it. Great guests make great shows. Hunt, thanks for providing the hardware. It's like you, Shay Dixon, Ruffin Rodgery, Gordy Rush. I just got to tee you guys up occasionally. So thanks for helping us do what we're doing, brother. We appreciate it.
Well, congratulations again, Ben. I guess you owe me a beer.
At least one. He is Hunt Palmer, and he's more than capable of drinking several Bud Lights that I buy him. I know this from experience, and I meant what I said. Great to have people like him agree to come on weekly. Hunt, the check is in the mail. We're coming right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking your questions, and bringing Jeff Horchek aboard at 5 o'clock, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Twelve minutes to 5 o'clock, right back into the Taproom River Ranch. You're dialed in to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. About 20 minutes ago, maybe, we floated a question out there. How far did you have LSU going in your bracket? No eraser, no pen, scratching it out and amending. How far did you have them going? A lot of response so far on social media. We'll update it momentarily. But right now, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He waited through the break. Frank, how the heck are you?
Well, Ben, I just want to say congratulations. Y'all deserved it. You guys are my ride home. I enjoy listening to you knuckleheads shoot sports to everybody and shoot everybody straight. And about LSU, I didn't make a bracket. I'm not that big of a hoop head, but I am pulling for them. I had them in the Sweet 16 at least. But the question I wanted to ask you is, I mean, can we cut to the meat and potatoes of it? If this was a Will Wade coach team, would that score have even been that close?
See, I think that's at least moderately unfair because of the nature of how close most of their SEC wins were, right? I mean, they went 16-2, and you know what? I'll tell you what I'll do. For the 5 o'clock hour, I'll have this prepared now that you've asked the question. I'm going to go see how many of their wins in SEC play. Of the 16 wins, actually, I have a producer for this. Clint, if you're listening, how many of the 16 wins in SEC play did LSU win by? We could go double digits, or we could even say by 5 or 6 points. My guess is at least, and I mean at least, 8 of the 16 wins, at least half, came by single-digit margins. We know that so many of them went to overtime, so I'm not sure that's completely fair, Frank. And if the response to that is, well, the SEC ain't Yale, boy, I don't know. That Yale team, to me, looked better than some of the SEC squads this year. But, again, that's just my 2 cents. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the SEC, it just means more, Ben.
Yeah, well, unless you're Auburn and you win the SEX tournament, then it means a lot more, Frank.
Hey, too easy, Ben.
Easy money. Just out here stealing. We got time for more. 706-0111. Let's get back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Chad, great to have you. How's it going?
Ben, congratulations. Ben, I'm winning my bracket. Does that mean anything right now?
It's kind of like winning after the first inning, but it beats losing after the first inning.
That kind of was an unfair statement, last caller. You got to think, man, all these games that we've been watching today, most of them have been going to the wild, and these guys are all fighting for their lives. But both these games, man, Auburn and against LSU, Yale was putting up threes from the bleachers, and they were going in. I think LSU took the foot off the pedal, per se. But, man, LSU wins 10 out of 10 times. And you're going to get a lot of upsets. We've already had maybe one today. And everybody's fighting for their lives, man. But anyway, Ben, congratulations, brother. Great job.
Chad, you know we appreciate it. And let's speak to them briefly, then we'll take another call. If you can win games when Trey Waters shoots 5 of 15 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, Nasri turns it over 5 times. And look, they did good things, too. I'm just highlighting ways in which LSU's best two players, and let's be frank, I mean, seriously, we know that Skylar Mays can be very good, if not excellent. We know Cavell Bigby-Williams is a great glue guy. We know Javonte Smart can have Tennessee-like performances, if you think back to the PMAC game. But LSU, a lot of ways, goes as Waters and Reed go. Yes, Reed had a double-double, 14 and 10. Yeah, Waters gave you 15 and 7 assists, but they weren't anywhere near their best, and LSU won in a very early game in the tournament, and that's the last point I'll make before we take this next call. I can't tell you how undesirable it is to be a heavy favorite in a Thursday or Friday 11:40 freaking a.m. game. I mean, seriously, I didn't want to put a lot of credence into that beforehand. I don't want to wish anything bad to fruition or give you the bad juju. But to be a prohibitive favorite and to literally be the second game that goes off in this madness that is the NCAA tournament, it takes some stones to be able to leap out to a big lead, and they held off a good Yale squad. So there's not a lot of flies that I think you should allow to collect on any win in a postseason of this magnitude. All right, back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ken, appreciate you waiting on us. How goes it?
Pretty good, Mr. Ben. Congratulations, by the way. Secondly, it's March Madness. That's the reason why they call that. Michigan State could have lost. Maryland could have lost. I mean, hey, it's one and you win and you advance. That's what March Madness is all about. And then I wish everybody would stop talking about Will Wade. It's Beckford's team now, and they got to move on. Things take place with Will Wade, but right now it's Benford's team, and they need to move on, play Maryland, get that win. By the way, I had to win 2 games and then get beat. So that's my take on all that. But thank you.
I think you're right about the last part. I'll go in a little deeper on it, though. It ain't about Wade for the next, let's see here. I'll do a little quick math. 2 weeks and 4 days? It ain't about Wade for the next fortnight, basically. If you could keep winning games, let that take care of itself later. I hate to put it this way, but if you win 5 or 6 games, you sure Tony Benford's not your coach anyway? I'm just saying. The only thing that's fair to discuss past this season right now is whether or not Benford coaches his way to remaining the coach of this team beyond this season. It's reasonable to assume, at least in my book it is, that Wade won't be the head coach of this team next year, but yeah, that is future talk. All Benford can do is affect the present and maybe improve his shot at the future and continue to be LSU's head coach. But you're right, all that stuff is pretty secondary right now. Might even be tertiary, if I could throw about a $7.50 word at you right there. It's pretty far down the line of concerns. It's the big dance. LSU hasn't been in it since 2015, hasn't won a game since 2009. Enjoy what you're witnessing. Tony Benford led a team to an NCAA tournament win. Prior to that, he was at North Texas, and some of the things he did were pretty nondescript. If, again, we're inside the trust tree with the nest, if we're being honest with one another, Tony Benford didn't light the world on fire as a head coach when he was a head coach. That's why he's an assistant again. It's not a knock. But he served a really important utility on this team in his assistant role. And now, a lot like Ogeron in 2016, he's the guy on staff with head coaching experience that's going to get the crack to lead a very talented group. In fact, I would argue that this LSU basketball team is more talented than the 2016 LSU football team, even with sophomore Darius Geis going off like a madman. This team has more potential in the context of the rest of the country to go toward and try to win a national championship than that LSU football team did. And that's a mouthful. So Benford's got a heck of an opportunity for himself, sure. But more importantly, he's got a chance to lead LSU to some pretty cool places and some heights that maybe none of us would have expected maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when the Will Wade fever pitch was at its highest. All right, CD, we're almost at the end of hour one of three. Let's finish it in style. I got one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Unflappable. And you heard me pay some homage to Chris Reed and what he did last night. LSU down a run in the ninth against Nichols, and he comes up with a huge pinch hit, RBI to tie the game. Tigers go on to win it. That kid, given everything he has been through, just unflappable. And I give Maneri a lot of credit for on the back end owning up to what obviously is a bit of a mistake. And the team benefits not only from what Reed brings in the locker room and in the dugout. Boy, he's bringing them an awful lot, and they're benefiting from his play on the field this year and what he's doing at the plate. And so you got to give him credit. And no, he doesn't have the pedigree of a Daniel Cabrera, but right now the young man looks absolutely unflappable. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're coming right back in, bringing Jeff Horchek with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here with you. I can't believe I get paid for this. Live at the Tap Room, having a blast. No rhythms on the river. Until next week, no problem. Nice crowd here already for 5 o'clock. And, yeah, a lot of people coming to watch the madness. You can join us as well. Just about the only person in the free world that's not allowed to join us, well, he's producing the show. He's back in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Clint Domang. So Ben and Clint coming at you for another 2 hours, and I'll be joined momentarily by an award winner and a guy who had a heck of a day himself. He's walking in right now, and of course, I'm talking about Trooper, He is, as always, led here by his owner, Jeff Horchek, KLFY, Passepartout in the morning, does middays as well for KLFY TV 10. So we're excited to dive in. Look, we got a lot to get to today. LSU wins in the big dance. We continue to monitor spring football, LSU and UL, and we'll talk some Saints, I'm sure, before it's over, too. And it is time now. Jeff Horchek joining the program. Look, you're having to work late in the day. The tie is still on. You did not just get out from a nap. There's no way.
No, man. We were out, you know, having a couple adult beverages, man. It's Thursday. We're getting ready for the weekend. The weather's beautiful. And, hey, man, it's been an exciting week. Ben, I just want to congratulate you on the LAB Best Sports Show for Radio KLWB-FM, Bumper to Bumper. Congratulations. It's an honor to be on with you tonight.
I want you to tell the people exactly what you and the team at KLFY were able to accomplish as well. I think it's monumental for the state of Louisiana, friend.
Yeah, man, we had a fun day. I was actually at work, and I started getting these mass texts. And they were like, "Hey, you guys just won best TV morning show in the state," and I was like, "Wow!" So we have a really good team, man. We got a good group right now. You know, sometimes you build a team, and everything kind of clicks, and we put a lot of work into that show and tweaking it, and it's paying off. And we have a good group and a lot of talent, and from producers to, you know, editors to directors to anchors, reporters, and our meteorologists, and so it's worked out, and it's nice to get a little recognition around the state. So it's good, and tomorrow will be a fun morning, and it's been a fun run. So it's nice.
There's not a lot of chest thumping that needs to go on, and that's not what I'm driving at when I say this, but it's cool to know for people that love taking in sports on the radio, for example, mm-hmm. or waking up with you on TV in the mornings. It's cool to know that they don't need to live in New Orleans. They don't have to live in Baton Rouge. This is market 121 in the country, and yet the product and the content coming out, how cool is it that we get to bring this to the people? And, dude, they keep paying us for this.
No, I know. It is. I mean, you know, just because you're not in New York City doesn't mean you can't, like you said, put a good product out. It all comes down to the focus and the people that you work with and what you want to do every day. And you know, the media business is not an easy business. Anybody that's been in it or is in it knows that it's a grind, and you know, you don't get rich usually doing it. But it's a service to get information out to the public, whether it's sports, news, weather, whatever, and or entertainment. And you know, it really comes down to relationships. That's really with anything. If you have good relationships and you have a team that you work with that you get along with and you understand and you work well with, then that's what makes it work, and that's kind of what we have at KLFY right now on our morning show. And I know, you know, radio is very similar, that you may not work with as many people, but it's still a team effort.
Jeff Horchek, good enough to join us at the Tap Room River Ranch. Only one thing you can do while you're listening, if you get a chance, come out and be a part of it. This is a nice crowd for 5 o'clock. We got tournament action on, having a good time early on a Thursday evening. So LSU survives and advances. They're going to get Maryland in the next round. We haven't had this kind of conversation in 10 years about LSU basketball. What do you make out of it?
Well, I'll tell you, I always wondered. I said, going into this tournament, Ben, you know, would this team take all the issues they've had off the court and use that as to put a chip on their shoulder, or would they tank? You had your teammate shot and killed before the season. You have your coach under an FBI investigation, suspended. How do you use this? Do you turn it into a positive or a negative? And that's been the key for LSU to see. And today, you know, it was a tight game late, but they pulled away, knocked down some free throws late to win it, and now they get a good Maryland team. So we'll see. I think with this LSU team, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised they get to the Final Four. I think they have that type of talent. Will it happen? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how they channel this, all this controversy and distractions off the court, and how they channel on the court. And that comes down to the team and their coaching staff and how they channel it. So we'll see. Wouldn't surprise me, because this has been a very good team all year long, talent-wise.
You fill out a bracket every year?
Yeah, I do, just for the heck of it.
How about your Final Four? Hopefully it's all still intact.
I don't have it memorized right now. I have to go see, because I've been running around. But I have Duke win it all, and I don't think that's a surprise. They look like the clear-cut favorite. But that doesn't always mean that the best team on paper is going to win. So we'll see. I love the NCAA tournament, Ben. I think it's one of the best sports events that our country puts on, because I just love seeing the small schools go up against the big boys on the big stage. I love that. You know, the Abilene Christians, the Farley Dickinsons, those schools don't get a lot of attention during the year. So when they get to the big dance, it's showtime. And I love seeing those small schools on the big stage and guys you've never heard of get a chance to light it up, because it's open game at that point. And I just think it's one of the best tournaments, and it's nonstop, and it's just pure raw sports at its rawest level, a purest level, and I think it's fun, and I love watching. Even if you're not a big basketball junkie, this time of the year, it's fun to watch.
Got another 20 minutes or so with Jeff Horchak. You can call us 706-0111. Today's been a day of almost upsets, but it didn't quite happen,
yeah.
Right? Auburn pulled it out against New Mexico State. Belmont couldn't get Maryland. Bradley couldn't quite get Michigan State. Do you have any memorable upsets, whether it's from your childhood or even covering sports? Anything that really sticks out to you that when you think of March Madness and when it really gets weird, this comes to mind?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because the other day I was thinking about it. I said, what games, and I've had a lot of games that I've enjoyed, but do you remember a few years ago, and I'm trying to think how many years ago it was, because this is 2019, so it was probably about 13 to 14 years ago when Northwestern State had maybe their best team ever, and they beat Iowa on that three from the corner. Jermaine Spencer, I covered that team in Alexandria. They were playing in Detroit. I didn't get a chance to go to cover them, but I covered them all the way up until that point. And they were a heavy underdog, and they beat Iowa. Jermaine Spencer was a kid from Shreveport, knocked a three down from the corner, and they won. It was huge, and they went on and lost in the second round. I can't remember who beat them in the second round. I think it may have been North Carolina, but that was a huge win. That was maybe the best team that the Demons have ever had. I think they won 26, 27 games. They came back after that at Prather Coliseum, had a big, big celebration. And it was just cool because, you know, a lot of those guys are from Shreveport. They were local guys that went to Northwestern State. McConathy had a team that was deep, so he'd rotate five and six guys at a time. That's how he wore Iowa down, stayed close, and Jermaine hit the big shot. And that was a game that, you know, really, really excited me because I knew that team was good, and I said if they play their game, they could win a game or two in the tournament. They didn't. It was huge because Northwestern State's a small school up in Natchitoches, but they love their sports up there, and they were Cinderella that year, you know?
I want to say a 14 over a 3
in that game. I think so, yeah, yep. You remember, I know you remember it because you were covering sports then, yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that leaps to mind for me, and I was 1 year old, so I don't remember it, but my good friend Ricky Blanton reminds me often about the 1986 LSU team.
Oh, yeah.
An 11 seed that goes Cinderella style all the way to the Final Four. So in this state, that one probably ranks pretty high. The other one that I remember was an almost.
Mm-hmm.
16-seeded Southern out of Baton Rouge, number one seed Gonzaga. And this was either, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. It was in that range.
Yeah.
But to think about a 16 beating a 1, like, oh, that'll never happen. You fast forward to, what, modern times? Now it has happened. Last year we had exactly that. So it's weird, to your point. The smaller schools, the disparity of talent, the gap maybe isn't all that big. I know. Duke and then Southern, for example, okay, that's pretty big. But to think about a 16 beating a 1, it's no longer just a dream. These schools have a shot.
It's going to happen at some point. You keep wondering when a 16 is going to be the 1. It will happen. There's going to be a day when a 1 is down and the 16 seed is fired up and they're hitting on all cylinders and they're going to win. And it may be sooner than later. But, the NCAA tournament is just great because I feel like in basketball, when you get to this level, you know, everybody's on an equal floor. And obviously Duke is the favorite because Zion Williamson is an absolute freak talent. But you know, you just never know. You never know. And basketball is one of those sports, kind of like baseball, too. Football is a little different because, you know, even if a team is down but they're so far superior physically, a lot of times they'll wear a team down and eventually pull away. But in basketball and baseball, man, if you've got a couple good guards that can light it up, and in baseball, if you've got a couple arms that can sling it, and you're hot, your hitters are hot, or your shooters are on, man, you can come out and get the momentum behind you, and you can win a game. And that's what makes the big dance so special.
I'm excited about it. Watching it here, it's a little bit of a lull. I know we have one game I'm seeing on in the corner right now. We'll update that for you and give you the night schedule on the other side. Ben Love hanging out with Jeff Horchak, and the big fella's here too. We might have to find a way to get the three-man weave going here.
Yeah.
Gerald Gruning in the building. Award winners, the both of them. PASPA 2. How about that? The best morning TV show in the state. You can watch them on KLFY. Channel 10. Hey, as we hit a recess, a reminder, we're out at 7 tonight from 8 to 11. It's my buddy Corey Lynn Landry laying down the sound. So come watch the tournament. Listen to Corey Lynn. Enjoy specials. Yeah, you can get $3 Jack and Crown drinks. Make that $3.50, excuse me. You'll pony up the extra 50 cents and some of the best flatbread you'll ever eat at the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming back on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Simple formula. You want to have a really good sports talk radio show, have really good sports talk radio guests. We're doing that right now. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, and I am joined for another segment by Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV, and the award-winning Pass Pot 2. That's not old yet, right?
Not yet. We'll take it.
Not even for a little bit. I do want to get slightly more serious because there's a topic that I think everybody started to realize at some point, maybe on social media or word of mouth yesterday, and we haven't had a chance to bring it to the show yet. A very important member of the Raging Cajun sporting community lost yesterday.
Yeah, Lynn Williams, he was a longtime equipment manager. About 30 years he'd been working at UL, and I got to know Lynn pretty well when I was working in sports at KLFY, and we'd go by and talk to him. And, you know, he really had the pulse of the UL athletic department. And you wanted to find out what was going on, how the teams were doing, how they were feeling. He knew, and he was the guy, and he was very good at what he did as an equipment manager. He won a national award years ago as the top equipment manager in the country for colleges, so he was very, very good at what he did. Grew up in Lafayette, Northside High grad, went to UL, worked his way up, and trained a lot of young equipment managers who moved on to other schools and universities. But he really was like a father figure to a lot of the athletes. Any athlete that came through UL in the last 30 years would know Lynn well, and you started seeing the outpouring of love on Twitter and Facebook when word got out that he passed yesterday. I think he was about 56. The funeral arrangements are still pending, but I hope to be able to make his funeral because he was a good guy. Lynn was always a very down-to-earth, very genuine guy, and just really had a big heart for UL and the athletes and people, and he was just a down-home guy. He was one of those guys that you could just sit down and shoot the bull with and have a good time, and I'm really going to miss Lynn because he was a staple with UL Athletics. Anytime you were out at Cajun Field or at the Cajun Dome or, you know, Lamson Park, now being named Yvette Girard Park, he was there, and just a good guy. So it's a huge loss for the overall Raging Cajun Athletic Department and the UL community.
You suggested something, and again, not that you're making the decisions, I guess, for the UL Athletic Department nor the university, but I would say that it's one heck of a suggestion. I'd love for you to bring that to the air.
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a Lynn Williams scholarship for the equipment managers or student athletes because he had that much of an impact, or maybe name a part of the university after him, or maybe the Lynn Williams equipment facility or something, because he had that big of an influence on that department. And he's just a good guy. I mean, despite the fact that he was really good at what he did, he's just a good guy. And, you know, sometimes when you meet somebody and you're like, man, they just make an impact on you. Lynn was that type of guy. Just had a big heart, too. So I'll miss him. And, you know, we'll see him in heaven someday. Big Lynn's going to be making sure everything's good up in heaven. But he was a great guy. And, you know, I know anybody affiliated with UL Athletics in the last 30 years knew who Lynn Williams was. But he was a low-key guy, too. He wasn't a big rah-rah. He was a very low-key, behind-the-scenes guy, but one of those guys that, like I said, if you wanted to know what was going on with the pulse of UL Athletics, you talk to Big Lynn, you could find out.
Incredibly well said. He's Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV 10. I'm Ben Love, and we got time for you if you want to join. 706-0111. I'm going to tell a story of cowardice for a moment now as we switch gears, and I'm looking up at this Murray State Marquette game. The Racers, Ja Morant, lead 57-40, about 14 minutes, a little bit of change left in the second half. So a 17-point lead for a number 12 seed. I had them winning this game. I had them going two rounds, Jeff. And yesterday we had one of our experts on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, am I a moron? He said, yes, you are. So there's no way you pick against Marquette in this situation.
Right.
I am a coward. I changed my bracket this morning, and now I'm paying for it. So that's what I get, right?
Well, I tell you, you know, this kid from Murray State, you're hearing a lot about him, and he's this mid-major guy, and everybody's trying to figure out how he translates to the next level. Kind of similar to what Elfrid Payton went through when he was at UL. Everybody's like, well, he's really good at the Sun Belt level, but can he play in the NBA? Is he going to – and here he has had five straight triple-doubles and he looks like he's going to get another extension with the Pelicans. I mean, so this kid reminds me a lot of Elford, you know, and if you got the skills to pay the bills, baby, you got the skills to pay the bills. I don't care whether you're playing at Murray State, UL, or Duke. If you can play, you can play. And this kid can play. So you're right. I mean, look at him. They're up 17 over Marquette. They're not playing games.
He'd look okay in a Pels uniform, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Can you see Alford and this kid? That would be a dynamic backcourt.
It'd be a lot of fun, especially I would imagine the biggest piece of this puzzle they want to keep together moving forward, it's got to be Jrue Holiday, in my opinion. When you start to couple all those guys together in the backcourt, it's funny to think that less than one calendar year ago, we were discussing Twin Towers with Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. Now, one of them plays for the Warriors. The other wants to play for the Lakers. And maybe a calendar year from now, we're going to be talking about their backcourt is amazing.
Well, I mean, you know what? Things can change quick in basketball because you have five guys in the court at a time. So you make a couple moves, get lucky with a draft pick, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're back in it. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But I like the crew they have now in New Orleans, even though they've had a lot of controversy with AD and all that garbage that's gone on. The guys they have on the court play hard. They're playing hard. You know, and I like that. So those guys are looking to keep stay in the league and get contracts, and it'll be fun. But, yeah, this kid from Murray State, man, he's a baller.
I always get to explore basically the entire gamut, right? Mm-hmm. The whole world of sports when you come on. So let's finish with the Saints. I don't know that they have made any earth-shattering moves, but they clear some cap space from Drew Brees. They backfill from center when Max mm-hmm. Unger leaves. Your impressions on what they're doing and trying to fortify a championship roster?
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, they made some moves, you know. And it's refresh my memory again. You're talking Pels, right?
No, I'm sorry, Saints.
Saints. Okay. Sorry.
So Brees gives back about 10.8
right.
mil,
and they have freed up money. Yeah, I like what's happening. It worried me a little bit about Max Unger retiring because obviously the center on offensive line is the key, and they brought him in. He was a veteran, but they signed this other guy who's a pretty solid center. His name eludes me now.
Nick Easton.
Okay, and they say he's pretty solid, but. You know, that chemistry between the center and the quarterback is huge, so we'll see if they develop that. Unger and Brees had it going on. That worries me a little bit, but hopefully they'll have enough time for that guy, Easton, to get in the groove with Brees and they can get to know each other. They picked up that defensive end from the Patriots. They need some depth there because of Rankins. I thought they were going to go get the tight end from the Raiders. They apparently didn't sign him. I don't know what happened there. Did you hear? Was it Cook?
Jared Cook?
Yeah, that didn't work out, although they brought him in. They still need a tight end. But we'll see. I mean, the draft's still coming up. They don't have many draft picks, so I'm just curious, Ben, if they're going to make a move to try to get more draft picks because they only have, what, three, I think, or four?
I've got a wild idea. We got about two and a half minutes left in this segment. Let's go full on Pospod 2. I'm going to get a beer. Here's Gerald Grunin.
Okay. He's already had a couple beers, right, Gerald? We've had several beers. No. Okay, it's Thursday. We're off of work. We can have a few
beers.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Jeff Horchek, man. I didn't get to hear y'all. Ben Love, thanks for having me on. What an honor.
Ben, you get some wings and a beer.
Strawberry cane breaks out right now. Just a tip. Right? I know.
Jared, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, man. LSU today, I know. I heard y'all talking college basketball. As our phones were lighting up today, Jeffrey, it was fun watching LSU. And Yale's got a good team, man.
They do. They kind of remind me of those old Princeton teams, you know, coming out of the Ivy League. They can backdoor cut you to death, and they're very disciplined. But LSU was athletically just far superior and knocked down some free throws late and sealed the deal.
Well, I tell you, I think what was most impressive, right, and this will be the last sports statement we give as we as we wrap up our 2.5 minutes, just their unconscious, like stroking it, man. Yeah. They were letting it fly, man. I thought that was fun to watch, man, especially early on. Then I doze off for my afternoon nap, and then I wake up, and Jeff, what do we know?
Hey, best morning show in the state. I it was a pleasant surprise. What a blessing. We have a good team, and we had fun. And then, Ben, you win best sports show radio in the state, so congratulations, man. You got some hardware. It makes you feel good when you work hard because you get a little cheese on the end, you know?
So Jeff and I were talking, right, about you look at people's Twitter bios, Instagram bios, all this stuff. Jeff can officially put what on there, Jeff?
Award-winning. I guess I always heard people say that. I said, now I guess we can officially put award-winning. So congratulations to the Pospod 2 team, and congratulations to you, Ben, on a much-deserved award.
It's arguable to some. I'll stamp it home. My show is never better than when I'm not on it. So we appreciate the award winners from Pospod 2, KLFY TV 10. You guys are going to have a large time tomorrow morning, I have no doubt.
We'll have fun. Plus, it's Friday and it's payday, so that's awesome.
Cash the checks, baby. Jeff Hortek, Gerald Gruning joining us. Let's shut it down for a couple of minutes. Speaking of the skills to pay the bills, how about some commercials to pay the bills? And then we're back to the Taproom River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. 34 minutes after 5 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. It's Thursday. It's B2BS. You know that we're live at the Taproom River Ranch. And still, a really good crowd that continues to shuffle in. And I love that Jeff Hortek brings Trooper, his dog, every time he comes. It's a great reminder that they're pup-friendly here. So bring him over, watch the tournament, and enjoy more than 40 beers that are on tap. Check out the flatbread, or a pro tip I always give, the wings with the schwing sauce. It's the way it needs to be. And then don't forget, at 8 o'clock, my good friend Corey Lynn Landry, laying down the sound. Local music. It's live. There's no cover charge. From 8 to 11, come watch the tourney and listen to Corey Lynn Landry for the next, say, 40 minutes. We're wide open for your phone call. 706-0111. We do have a scheduled interview with Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle coming up at 6:15. He's over in Florida. He's covering the Houston Astros. And we got to ask how the Alex Bregman deal came to pass. That's all future talk. Right now, time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down. It starts with Mark. They're going to help you create a vision, and then they'll fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
All right, Clint. Sometimes when we throw shade, we have to point the finger inward. We're not afraid to do that. An award-winning show, yes. But a flawless show, oh, never. Did we not mention on the show yesterday that the night prior there was a raging Cajun cycle that occurred out at the Teague? Is that something that didn't occur in our 2 hours of radio yesterday? Was acknowledging that, Clint?
Yeah, we didn't acknowledge it, mind you. I mean, if we want to get technical here, we did bring it up during the two-minute drill.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the story because you were there, and then I'll continue with the shade.
Oh, dude, that was probably one of the coolest things ever, seeing somebody hit for the cycle, especially the way that it happened. You know, you kind of get that triple out of the way. That's the hardest one to do. We talked with Hayden Cattrall after the game. That's the hardest one. And then the second he hit that double, like, we just knew he was able to kind of get that cycle complete. The second he hit it, it just was like it landed at the right spot to where he was able to get in there. It's just great to see Hayden Cattrall get hot, and I'd say almost at the right time. I mean, the guy was batting 600 headed after that ball game, and it was just phenomenal stuff from what I saw from him on Tuesday night.
And so the shade is really simple. It's not only a UL kid hitting for the cycle. It's a local product from Turlings Catholic. We've had Aiden Cantrell on this show. We've had his high school coach, Mike Thibodeau, on this show, I don't know, three or four times. We are all aboard the Hayden Cantrell hype train here on Bumper to Bumper Sports. And he hits for a cycle probably like, oh, I don't know, a four-minute drive from our studio, and I didn't bring it up. Hayden, the shame is on me. The glory, my friend, is yours.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
We'll call that an immediate demerit in our chances of winning the 2019 Best Sports Radio Show in Louisiana. Not mentioning a cycle that occurs for a in-city major college baseball program. All right, we'll give this thing back to Moscone in 2019. Right now, 7.5 minutes to play in the ball game. Murray State, and what a dime that was from Ja Morant, with a 70-48 lead over Marquette. How about 15 points and 14 assists for a guy that continues to prove he'd look really, really good in the New Orleans Pelicans jersey? 22-point lead for Murray State. Thank you, Brian Snow, for telling me I was a moron yesterday. I had Murray State going two rounds. I'm not looking at their bracket, so I don't know who these guys are matched up with. This is a 5-12 game, so almost certainly it would be the I'm not going to do that math on the fly, but Clint, maybe you could tell me. Go to that portion of the bracket. Marquette, Murray State are matched up with who? Who would they face in the next round?
Florida State.
That's exactly right. I'm not a huge believer in Florida State, despite a decent run in the ACC tournament. So I had Murray State winning two games. Brian Snow came on this show yesterday, said you're a moron. And now I have Marquette winning two games. So that's not going to help things, Brian. All right, we may have to flip that whole moron thing around a little bit. I've got some hardware here to prove that I may be a moron, but I'm one that talks loud into a mic and doesn't do it very poorly. We're going to take our final break of the hour. Coming right back, we're going to take your phone calls. I may try to fit a little bit of the Mondo Duplantis interview in here. I just think it's important to some of the things that happened today. But don't forget, at 6:15, Chandler Rome with the Houston Chronicle. We'll talk Houston Astros. Right now, you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, continuing to pass a great time at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We've got March, and yeah, we're getting a little closer to the madness part as Murray State continues to pull away from Marquette in a 12-5 game. Knew I should have stuck with the Racers. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. You're just tuning in. We didn't lead the show with this, but certainly we got to it in hour number one. Pretty humbling day for myself and Clint. Bumper to Bumper Sports, named the best sports radio show in our state earlier today, that at the 2019 Prestige Awards, and we were bestowed that honor. I hear the background noise, Clint. I hear the cheers. Yep. And we were awarded that by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters. And I bring that up now to say this. Again, repeating something that I first brought to you in the 4 o'clock hour. You have to have stories to tell good stories, and people that are willing to share, and people that are willing to open up. And one of the parts of my submission for this award was the Mondo Duplantis interview that we did, I believe, last March. I believe. This year, it's Friday, April the 5th. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow, and we will be back out at UL for the Beaver Club Relays in 2019. But I think it was still in March last year in 2018. And if you recall, Mondo was kind of in the crosshairs of the LHSAA. The reason was this. He intended, like he had his junior season, to go in his senior year of high school at Lafayette High and compete in the Texas Relays in Austin. In fact, he was going to compete against his idol, a guy that he grew up idolizing, who was going to be at the meet and actually reached out to him. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to replay part of that interview, and you'll hear it here in a moment. The point is simple. Mondo Duplantis is one of the best athletes that'll ever come through this town. And don't question that statement. The sport may not be familiar to you. He's a prodigy. There is no other way to put that. And he had some brass ones during this interview and how he responded to the high school sports organization that governed the sports in which he competed. So I don't have any doubt about it, that interview, his willingness to share, was part of the reason that this show looked awfully good and reflected well upon people who judged it. Without any further ado, let's get to the meat and potatoes. We're not going to do the whole thing. It's about a 12-minute interview, which in and of itself is impressive for a 17, 18-year-old kid. But after winning the high jump, the pole vault, and I believe the 100-meter dash at the Beaver Club Relays, if I'm not mistaken, I think he did all three that day. If not the high jump, it was the long jump. He came on the show. Here's a part of that Mondo Duplantis interview.
With everything that's going on around you, you kind of keep this calm. But I would love you to explain to our listeners, in your words, everything that is going on. Next week is the Texas Relays, and I'm just going to leave it there and let you take the baton.
All right. So, so next week I pretty much got a letter from the LHSAA, and it's pretty much if I compete in the elite division, the open division in the Texas Relays, which I competed in last year, by the way. That was the division I competed in last year and still got to compete. If I compete in that division, I am, I guess, banned, not allowed to compete in any more high school competitions, LHSAA competitions, meaning I can't do state, and I can't do, like, the state meet for 100-meter if I want to do that, long jump, any of that, not even those events, which I thought I might be still be able to do, but supposedly not even that. And so, and then, well, actually, recently we kind of just found out that they're trying to they contacted the National High School Association, and they're trying to not allow me to even compete in the elite division.
The LHSAA contacted the National Association.
Correct, okay. Correct. And so that pretty much I would have to compete in the high school division so that they wouldn't have to ban me, and that they kind of – so they want me to kind of resign before they have to ban me pretty much.
They want you to resign from competing in the elite event next week?
So, yeah, they actually asked if we can send in a what is it, like a letter of – what is it? I don't even know what you call it. A letter of
– resignation?
Resignation. Yeah, there it is. A letter of resignation. That's what it is. They wanted me to send one in. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to compete. I'm going to go compete in the elite division of Texas Relays. You're not going to have to ban me, I guess.
So for those that would wonder, our guest right now, Mondo Duplantis, we're at the 11th Annual Beaver Club Relays in Lafayette. For those that would wonder, okay, there's a decision for Mondo and his family to make. Sounds like it's already been made.
I mean, it's a decision, but it's almost not really. I mean, Renaud Lavillenie, the world record holder in pole vault, is going to be there. I'm going to be able to compete with him. I mean, I still have a poster of him in my room.
Wow.
I got a poster of – he's the world record holder, best pole vaulter to ever live, ever do the sport. Got a poster of him in my room. Wake up, I can see his poster – and I got a chance to compete against him.
Has he contacted you leading into this event?
He has. He said he texted me. I got his number recently in Europe. He said he texted me. He's like, yeah, I'm coming in the Texas Relays. Are you going to be there? I was like, yeah, I'm going to compete with you. And I was so, I mean, it's kind of an opportunity I can't miss. Especially Texas Relays is such a great competition that I really jump well at, like in the past. And so, I mean, I hope to jump well there this weekend. And, it just kind of seemed like an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
How about that? Still fresh, right? And Clint's given me the full scoop. That was March 26th of 2018. So next Tuesday, it'll have been a year since that interview. The other thing that's interesting, in the year since that interview, Mondo Duplantis is basically rewriting not just the LSU, the SEC, but slowly but surely the NC2A record books when it comes to pole vaulting. An absolute freak show. And he's just a freshman. And he chose – I remember that being a big storyline. I didn't particularly want to ask him about that on air. And look, it's nice to ask the important questions, and you have to. You have to ask the hard-hitting questions. But I'm not sure that's the case when you're talking to a 17-year-old who – he's got an opportunity to maybe go pro immediately. But I remember that being a storyline this time last year. Can he generate enough sponsorship money, compete professionally in track and field, and then just go into the Olympics and compete for Sweden? Because, yeah, that was a huge storyline. But he wanted to go to LSU. He's there now. And I'm quite certain that Dennis Shaver and company thrilled to have him with that track and field program. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. T, happy Thursday to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, doing fine, Ben. Hey, congrats to you and Clint, man. Y'all do a great job. and I'll make it quick. I know you're against the hour. But LSU basketball, I know they're young, but I wish they could get that step-on-your-throat attitude, you know. But it appears they can't in the second half. You know, I heard Frank saying if, you know, Will Wade was coaching, would it have been different? I'm like you. I don't think it would have. It would have. But they just don't have that kill it mentality in the second half. You agree or disagree? I'll hang up and listen, my man. Love your show.
T, you know we appreciate you. I'll say this. They have the killer instinct if they're down in the second half. And that's what's frustrating about it. If they're up in the second half, they don't. They won't, as you said, put a boot on somebody's throat. They don't choke anybody out, right? It feels like they kind of limp to the finish line. And I said it months ago when describing this LSU basketball team, it reminds me a lot of the Les Miles coached LSU football teams. The games always seem to suck to the middle. Miles teams very rarely just put somebody in a chokehold at the very end. There are a few games that I can recall. Oregon in Dallas was sort of like that. I think LSU wanted to prove a point in that game. The Honey Badger with a nice coming out party in a year that ended up with him going to the Downtown Athletic Club in New York for the Heisman ceremony. But for the most part, Miles' coach football game sucked to the middle. It means that if you are winning by double digits in the second half, you better not turn the TV off and you better not leave the stadium. But the upshot of that is if you're losing by 7, 10, 14 in the second half, you ain't out. That's what this LSU basketball team reminds me of. And the other similarity, because I think Wade and Miles are just drastically different coaches stylistically, but the other huge similarity, is what you see with the talent. This year's LSU basketball team is finally as talented as a lot of the LSU football teams. And I mean that relative to the rest of the SEC or the college game in their respective sport. LSU basketball this year is a top 10 team in the country in terms of talent, but they're probably not a top 2 or 3 team. Does that remind you of any other program on campus? That's exactly what LSU football has been since 2011. Not every year. They've had some years where they're not top 10. But for the most part, top 10 talent, not top 2 or 3 in the country. And their games seem to suck to the middle. So a lot of those Cardiac Cats Miles games, you're just seeing those relived on the hardwood right now. So, T, they don't have the killer instinct unless they're losing. And then they do. And that is the devil in the details. All right, under 15 seconds to play. This one's going to go final. Murray State going to pull off the first upset of the NCAA tournament. A 12 seed, the Racers, 83-64. They're going to beat Marquette and set up a matchup, you would imagine, with Florida State. That ball game being played in Hartford. So how about Murray State racing on to the round of 32? We are 2 hours in. Hey, we've had a lot of fun. We got another hour to go, and here's our game plan. Only one scheduled guest, Chandler Rome with the Houston Chronicle. He's an Astros beat writer. We're going to talk about Alex Bregman's big deal. 6 years, $100 million. The timing of it, how'd it come about, and who's leaping to the forefront of what should be a very good starting pitching rotation. Not college baseball, it's the show. We know they got Verlander. We know they got Garrett Cole. After that, how do they line up, and how much do you trust them? So Chandler Rome coming aboard at 6:15. Otherwise, wide open for your phone calls. Have the number down and ready. 706-0111. Ben Love here at the Taproom River Ranch, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And B2BS coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLD.
WB, Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll, hour three. We're off and running. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love kicking it with you from the Tap Room, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. What a day it's been. We'll start with LSU basketball. Tigers on top. They beat the Yale Bulldogs today. It was convincing for about 25 minutes. Then it was wild and woolly, and, well, then it got really weird toward the end as the smart kids from the Ivy League school started playing 3-for-2. And the funny part about it, I guess it wasn't funny for LSU fans at the time, Yale couldn't hit a three hardly to save its life leading into the final, say, 3 or 4 minutes of the contest. But toward the bitter end, it was – I mean, dead-eyed dick, sharp shooting, there's the word, from all over the place. But Yale made it closer than maybe it needed to be. We've had some reaction today from our LSU listeners saying, well, it'd be nice if they put their foot on somebody's throat. But I think it's said with the understanding that at this time of year, take what you get. Win, advance, move on. LSU's done that. And we now know the Tigers will take on Maryland. The six-seeded Terps survived one heck of a scare from Belmont earlier today. And so Saturday, we're going to have LSU versus Maryland. It'll be Tony Benford, interim coach for LSU, up against Mark Turgeon. When are they going to play? We don't yet know. That's something that you should find out probably late tonight if you stay up, and I do mean like 11:30 midnight. Could be early tomorrow morning. If you're wondering why that is, it's pretty simple. We don't have to like it, but the reality is this. They want to judge the caliber of matchups they have, and they'll base their TV schedule around that. And so if LSU-Maryland is one of their more enticing games, and I would imagine that it would be. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. They think that the NCAA, the TV networks, that they don't want LSU to win. You might be able to build that case with the NC2A, right? I don't think you can when it comes to the TV networks. And look, I've been hanging out with Jeff Horchek. General Gruning was here earlier. TV guys know it doesn't have to be a positive story to lead. If it's a big story, it leads. Let me promise you that LSU basketball right now, is a big story in this tournament. A team without its head coach who won't talk to his employer. I'm not going to debate whether he should or shouldn't, but the FBI, the NCAA are in the middle of a coach, his program, and the university that employs him. Yes, they're a pretty big story. So here's my point. I think LSU Maryland, I would have to think, stands a pretty good chance of tipping off at 5 p.m. or later on Saturday. It just, for me, it wouldn't make much sense to bury the Tigers and the Terps as a noon or a 1 o'clock game. I would think they want it a little closer to prime time, if not kind of your prime access range. So that's kind of what I'm thinking right now, is that you're looking toward a later game between LSU and Maryland. We got time for you to call in. Don't forget, Chandler Rome's going to join us a little less than 10 minutes from right now. The other thing that I haven't had any takers on yet, I'm curious on how you consumed the LSU-Yale game. And for many of you, work is now over, right? Maybe you clocked out, punched the ticket at 5 or at 6. You're no longer in danger of getting actively caught by your employer. So if you wanted to call in, you could throw us an alias. If you have a stage name or pen name, we're fine with that. Or just give us initials. I'm curious how you consume this game, because the more that we evolve with technology, the more ways there are to follow a sporting event. I just love how people watch their favorite team when you know it's a big deal for them. And this is a big deal. I know that this show originates from the Acadiana area, right? And plenty of Raging Cajun fans. And these are proud Vermilion and White Cajun fans when Elfrid Payton
and UL went to the big dance. So it's not that we're eschewing Raging Cajun basketball coverage, but here are the facts. LSU hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since 2015. They haven't won a game since 2009. They haven't won multiple games in the same tournament since 06. So, yes, LSU hasn't played at this level in 4 years. They haven't done what they did today in 10 years. And if they win again on Saturday, well, it'll be the first time they've done that in 13 years. This is a big deal. This doesn't happen every single season. So we're celebrating, and I'm curious how you watched it. I'm curious if you like LSU Maryland. I'll start to look ahead toward that matchup myself, and I'll repeat our sink or swim question of the day. How far do you have LSU going in your bracket? And I'm most interested in the one you filled out before today's game started. I don't need rewrites, or amendments. Whatever you got, give us a holler. 706-0111. CD, how about you? You on board with me here? Is this going to be a later game, LSU-Maryland Saturday? And what do you think about the matchup?
You know, it definitely is going to be probably one of the more interesting matchups because, honestly, I'll say it. I was heading into this game. I was rooting for Belmont to get the win. But with Maryland, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about them. So it could wind up being a little bit more of a competitive ball game, even though I'll say the Yale game was competitive, but it was mainly towards the tail end of that. I think it's just going to be a tough draw for LSU, but I still think they can come away with the win. And in terms of time, honestly, I think it should be like a midday game. Let's say like 5 o'clock would probably be the time that you wind up throwing this one on, hypothetically speaking, because I just don't think it's a primetime game, but it's close enough to where you can put it like 5 o'clock tip.
And look, it's fair enough, right? Because the one seeds, maybe your high-profile two seeds, a la Michigan or Kentucky, could easily command some of your primetime slots. I get that. But right before that, that prime access, man, would be really, really nice for LSU and Maryland. I am no Terps authority, but what I do know at this point is this. They don't play a fast, wide-open style. They do lock down defensively. Offensively, they're spotty, and they turn it over a good bit. But they've got a few guys that can score. I don't have names in front of me, but they're two leading scorers today combined for 32 in a game that was played in the low to mid-70s, right? So just about half of their scoring came from two players. So I think if you're LSU, that this is a little closer to the Florida-Georgia end of the spectrum as far as the type of team that you're playing, right? In terms of the stylistic matchup. But I do think that LSU's got the better talent in this one. We'll see coaching-wise, Mark Turgeon, an interim guy for LSU right now, and Tony Benford. We'll see how they match wits, but it should be an awful lot of fun. Here at the Taproom River Ranch now, tomorrow I will be back out. Tomorrow's going to be a bit of a Houdini act. I might need to bring the cape and change midway. Tomorrow, the plan is this. I'll be doing my show 4 until 5:30 from Le Triomphe Golf Course and Country Club, checking in on the second round of the 28 Chittimacha. There it is, the 28 Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. I'll be there until 5:30. We're out at 5:30 for the LSU baseball pregame show. And at 6 o'clock, I'm scheduled to begin a watch party at Twin Peaks on Johnston. So you get a chance to come out to Le Triomphe tomorrow, do it. Buy tickets, watch the good golf, come holler at your boy. If you don't and you want to watch basketball, I will be drinking beer at that event. Yes, I will not be working and doing a radio show. There will be beer, and there will probably be crawfish because that's their daily special on a Friday. Just keep it in mind. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. When we return, Chandler Rome talking Houston Astros baseball on 103.7 The Game. Hours ago, the announcement of the six-year, $100 million deal for Alex Bregman. How did that come about? Give us a little insight, if you could, into the timing.
Yeah, I think it's important for anyone that's, you know, diagnosing this deal to understand what this is. This is not five more years of Alex Bregman for the Astros. It's really only two. So what the Astros did is they are buying out all three of Bregman's arbitration years, which were 2020, 2021, and 2022. He was under team control for those 3 years no matter what, even if this extension would not have happened. And then they added two more years. They bought out the first 2 years of his free agency as well. So he would have been eligible to go into free agency after the 2022 season. With this new extension, he'll be with the Astros in 2023 and 2024 as well. So basically, this is just adding two more years onto Bregman's team control with the Astros, and it's going to pay him, you know, a handsome amount of money. It is $100 million, and there is a $10 million signing bonus also attached to it. So the value of this deal is north of actually $100 million. It's the second biggest deal in Astros franchise history, only behind Jose Altuve's deal. Last year, it was a six-year, $151 million extension. For Bregman, I think it's a smart deal. I think he's going to be obviously compensated pretty handsomely for one of the best seasons by a third baseman in Major League history that he had last year, and he'll still be eligible to enter free agency after this is over in his age 31 season. And to give you a little bit of reference, Paul Goldschmidt was in free agency this year as a age 31 player and got a $45 million deal from the Cardinals. J.D. Martinez was in free agency last year as a 30-year-old and got a $109 million deal from the Red Sox. So this stands to be for Bregman. If he keeps producing at the level he's producing at and keeps making himself such a valuable player with his production, he's going to be in line for this day, but when free agency rolls around in 2024 for him, he could be in line for another massive payday.
Chandler Rome, our guest on 103.7 The Game. How much, if at all, Chandler, was this a reaction to the deals that were worked, I mean, right beforehand, right? Mike Trout, we can go down the line. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado. In any way, was this a reaction to those?
I think not so much Harper and Machado, because those two guys were on the free agent market. I think you got to remember that Bregman was going to be an Astro for the next 3 years no matter what. But you are seeing a lot of players now sign extensions. Mike Trout had two more years left on his contract before he went into free agency and then signed it and then just got his extension. Blake Snell today got his extension. So it is becoming a little bit of a joke, especially in this offseason.
Let's call Chandler back for a moment if we could. I do know that he is driving, obviously. You can hear that, so our apologies. But Chandler is en route from covering the team where they were practicing, I believe back toward hotels and some other things in West Palm Beach. So we'll call him back, see if we can't shore up that line a little bit. I know there's going to be a press conference tomorrow at 3:30 in West Palm Beach. I want to ask Chandler about that. And if we can get into the pitching rotation, who is up and who's to be trusted after Verlander, your obvious ace, and then Garrett Cole, your number two in command. It'll be his second year, Cole, with the Astros after coming over from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And as soon as we get that thumbs up, we're going to send you right back out to Chandler and West Palm Beach and see if we can't establish a connection. Live radio. Always fun. We are hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch. And, look, other than waiting for Chandler, the other thing that it's got me a little antsy here, not going to lie to you, I'm watching the wings in front of me being eaten here. I'll tell you more about them later, but it's a really good time. And it reminds me that it's going to be even better once Rhythms gets back next Thursday. All right, back out. Chandler, sorry, we lost you for a moment there. You were saying that this isn't as much a reaction to the guys that got free agent deals, but the others, perhaps so.
Yeah, I think you look at the deal Trout signed. Trout actually signed a similar deal that Bregman signed, that Bregman's going to sign. He signed a similar one a couple of years ago. He signed a six-year, $144 million extension before he hit arbitration. And Bregman's about to sign a five-year, $100 million deal. That's the second largest deal ever given to a pre-arb player behind only that Trout deal. So you're always seeing Paul Goldschmidt got an extension today. Blake Snell got one today. It's becoming a little bit more in vogue now to extend guys, and I think that may be a reaction to how slowly the free agent market moved this year, and, you know, the fact that Dallas Keuchel is still without a team, the fact that it took Manny Machado and Bryce Harper until spring training began to get teams, and the fact that there are guys, proven major league talent, that's signing minor league deals, that's signing one-year deals in the free agent market.
I think you're seeing an uptick in extensions and an uptick in getting things done earlier because of that.
I'm glad you mentioned Dallas Keuchel. I was asked about him the other day. There's no chance, since he's lingering out there, that the Stros try to get him under market value and that his agent accepts that. Is it too late for that?
Look, I think as long as Keuchel is out there, those questions will persist. I think the door will remain open somewhat, but I still don't think that's going to be the case. Keuchel wants a long-term deal. Scott Boras, his agent, has been on record saying that he would like a long-term deal. I don't know if the way this has happened and the fact that the season starts in a week, I don't know if that's changed anything, but the Astros have offered Dallas Keuchel a one-year deal. We know that because they offered him a qualifying offer in November, and it was $17.9 million, and Keuchel turned that down, obviously thinking that the riches of free agency would be a little bit better, and obviously that hasn't been the case. So I think using that qualifying offer as sort of a reference, you know, you can kind of sense that the Astros maybe wouldn't go over that dollar amount, maybe would want to stick around that dollar amount, and wouldn't want to do anything much more long-term than a 1 or 2 year deal. And I'm not sure Dallas Keuchel wants that. And Jeff Luno's come out and numerous times in spring training sort of said that the club that's in West Palm Beach, you know, the players that they have in that clubhouse over there is the one that they're going to break camp with and the one that they're going to go to opening day with.
Another moment or two with Chandler Rome. A great follow, Astros fans, on Twitter, @Chandler_Rome. Who do you trust most in the rotation? Your obvious ace in Justin Verlander and a nice 1A compliment in Gerrit Cole. After that, give us the guys that you expect will be up next in that order and tell us how they're maybe performing early leading toward opening day.
Well, the fifth starter is still up in the air, but I don't need to be the first to tell you that I think that's Brad Peacock's job, and he's going to at least open the season in the rotation. AJ Hinch has not made that official yet, but he's thoroughly outpitched Framber Valdez this spring, and he should be the guy that starts at the back end. But I think when you look at all three of those guys, that's certainly a question mark. All three of them are proven. You know, Wade Miley had a great season last year with Milwaukee, sort of revitalized himself. And Colin McHugh won 19 games 3 years ago. Brad Peacock has excelled as both a starter and a reliever. So it's not like you're walking in blind with these three guys. They've done it at the major league level, and they've had good success there. I just think, you know, coming off of last year, that the Astros had a rotation where five guys were all-stars and made it miss a turn in the rotation until August. I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen again. There's going to be a lot more turnover. There's going to be a lot more guys filtering in and out of the rotation. You'll see, you know, some prospects may even come up. Forrest Whitley, Corbin Martin, Framber Valdez, and then J.D. Bukauskas. Those are guys that are on the edge of their major league debut and could make starts this year in the big league. This certainly will not be the stalwart of consistency that the rotation was last year, but I don't think by any stretch it's a bad rotation. You can't have a bad rotation with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole heading it. And then those other three guys, they perhaps won't have the power stuff. They won't be as dominant as the back end of the Astros rotation last year, but it should get the job done, especially if the Astros offense is able to kind of rebound from a very injury-plagued season last year.
Chandler, got about 90 seconds left. Any guys that are borderline making the roster, being sent down to the AAA level, especially I think people are going to want to know about Forrest Whitley. What can you tell us there?
Well, it's been kind of the weird thing about Astros spring training. Their 25-man roster is pretty much set. There's not many position battles, but in reference to Whitley specifically, he's going to start the exhibition game on Monday at Minute Maid Park against the Pirates. That'll be his first time pitching in Minute Maid Park, and A.J. Hinch likes to bring his prospects there to kind of give them a trial run and kind of so they can be in that ballpark before they've made their major league debut. I expect Forrest Whitley will make his major league debut this season. That's not a big secret, but the big thing for him is going to be staying healthy, and the big thing for him is going to be just keeping up performance. He only threw 50 innings last year with the suspension and with a couple of injuries. He can stay healthy, and if he can put together a consistent first month or two, you could see him perhaps in June or July, maybe even before the All-Star break.
Life in Lafayette is good, brother, but I have to imagine West Palm Beach, not too bad either, right?
I've been here too long, but yeah, it's great. But I've been here since February 12th. I need to get out at some point. But yeah, I can't complain about sunny and 75 every day.
You've also been working your butt off, and Astros fans appreciate that greatly. Chandler, thanks for the check-in. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Chandler Rowe with the Houston Chronicle, giving us some insight. I mean, we are on the cusp, people, the cusp. I don't want to hear about that Japan stuff, right? I know. The Ichiro thing was pretty cool. A nice memento playing in, what, Tokyo Stadium? I don't want to hear about that as real Major League Baseball, because here's the reality. My fantasy baseball leagues don't start counting the games that start until next week. That's when the MLB officially says, play ball. Ditto for the Astros. We're coming back. Half an hour to go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Having some fun as we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Thursday traditions at this point. Coming to the Tap Room River Ranch, hearing Clint play that song. Bumper to Bumper Sports returns on 103.7 The Game. And Clint reminded me of something. He said, Ben, we do have the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras going on. And his reminder is this. We need to talk a little bit about golf. So we're going to do exactly that. In fact, we're going Q&A replay style. We had the opportunity yesterday to bring on a really, and I mean really cool guest. Wasn't exactly expected or planned for. I don't mind telling you that either. But, yeah, we had Jacob Bergeron, 20-year-old, grew up in Slidell, a Monday qualifier from Alexandria, and he began play today out at Litchfield Golf Course. Not as much at country club part, but he's at the golf course, and he got his round in. And so we wanted to be able to play some of that audio for you. While we do, we'll see if we can get some leaderboard updates as well. So stay tuned. At the end of this segment, full leaderboard updates from the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. Until then, you get to listen to my interview with Jacob Bergeron, and yeah, it was a really good time. Look, you just wanted a shot, and you asked to play in this tournament. You punched your ticket qualifying Monday at Oak Wing in Alexandria, one of only two players to accomplish that feat. Bring us through what Monday was like as you made your path here to Broussard.
Right. I mean, every Monday qualifier is kind of a crapshoot. You just go out and try to shoot the best number you possibly can. And to be one of the few guys that gets through is pretty astonishing. And to have a chance to play in front of a home crowd here this week is pretty special. And hopefully we can put on a show.
Let's talk numbers. You shared this before the show, and to me, I mean, you say astonishing. I think the numbers back it up. You gave us a rough estimate that there were 200 guys per course, and two courses were needed for qualifying Monday up in Alec. How do you navigate that, and how much pressure is there on one single day where there's roughly 400 guys spread over two courses, and there's only two spots to go out of there?
Right, yeah, it's a big pressure that you could put on yourself, and the way to play your best golf in that situation is to not think about the numbers and all the pressure that can be there, just to focus on what you do best and try to get a little white ball in the hole. And if you do that well, and if your score ends up being great at the end of the day, then you're in.
Jacob Bergeron joining us right now as we're live at Lutrioff Golf Course and Country Club. Tell us about what Wednesday is for you. I know for just about everybody else here, it's the Pro-Am. Sounds right. It's the first time I've seen the beer cart here, so it must be time for the Pro-Am, but no beer for you today. Tell me about the final day of preparation.
Yeah, it's just getting bolts tightened in, and we're almost like little racehorses out here. Just got to get everything going, get ready for the start of the tournament. And it's not much. It's just making sure everything's in line, getting the speed of greens, making sure the swing's tight. That's about it. Just getting rest up, ready to go.
a lot of fans listening that love to come out here. They bring their kids. They come out here with family. And so they understand what it's like. But for those that have never seen it before, I thought it was interesting. You mentioned to me before the show, your tee time tomorrow, 2 p.m., and you'll be going off the first tee box, right? But then Friday, you've got a 9 a.m. off the 10th tee box. So yeah. How much can something like that throw off your game? Does it affect concentration? Tell me about that aspect.
It can. It could really throw some things off. Most guys, when they go play golf, it's always just off the first tee. It's a general thing. You just run off the first tee, go ahead. So you just have to be mentally tough and not worry about it. You just have to see each hole as a little story, a little challenge, and just whatever that hole throws at you that day, just try to adapt to it and get a little white ball in the hole.
You know, we mentioned that you spent a year at LSU under Chuck Winstead. I'm curious about your experience in Baton Rouge and what it was like going up against some of the best in the SEC and around the NC2A level.
Oh, it was great. I mean, Baton Rouge is such an awesome town. It's a great place to learn, to develop, and LSU especially. And golf is one of the most underrated sports at LSU. And we have a national championship in 2015, as well as an SEC championship the same year. What Coach Winstead's built there is one of the best college golf programs in the nation. It's, in my opinion, the place to go. What Coach Winstead's able to do in developing players is just as good or better than any other college coach in the world. So to be a part of that for just a short time I was there is something very special. I'm really proud to be a part of. And to be able to have a LSU yardage book that says Go Tigers and to be able to bleed purple and gold is something that I'm very proud of and something that nobody could ever take away from me.
Impressive statement. We got a few more moments with Jacob Bergeron, 20-year-old from Slidell, Louisiana, qualified Monday to participate in the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. And I want to explore some of your path, not only here to this event this week, but even to LSU. Give me some background about coming up in South Louisiana, the home course, and where you kind of really, made your bones.
Yeah, no, I grew up Slidell, like you said, playing a couple golf courses around there, mainly at Oak Harbor Golf Club. I like to call TPC a Slidell. It's a great layout. It's a really good place to learn to play. Might not always be in the best shape all the time, but and that's South Louisiana. It's hard to grow grass down here. But it's difficult to say, you know, where the bones came from. It's just one of those things. I owe a lot of it to my parents and my swing coach, Rob Noel, out of Abita Springs. What they've been able to instill in me, not just as a golfer but as a man, has really helped what I've become today, not just as a professional golfer, but even back to college and as a junior golfer, because it's more than just golf. It's how you can touch everybody's lives through sport. And that's the big motivator for me, is not just to hold a trophy, but to be able to touch other people and give them inspiration that, you know, a little boy from Slidell, Louisiana, if they could do something extraordinary, why can't they?
So. Jacob, I've done something, and I'm having a lot of fun, by the way, but I've done something as a journalist and broadcaster you're never supposed to do. I don't know if I've buried the lead, but I've buried one of the most interesting things that I've learned about you in a short period of time today, and so we'll go there now. You currently enjoy full status on PGA Tour Latin America. Tell me how you got there and give the folks an understanding of exactly the type of maybe feeder system that is for exactly what we're here for this week, the Web.com Tour.
Yeah, PGA Tour Latin America is going to be an amazing path. I think this will be my first year there. We haven't played an event down there yet. The season hasn't started. So I've just been playing Mondays before to stay fresh and a couple tournaments. But there's three kind of feeder tours, one being in Canada, one being down in Latin America, and one being in China. And I chose the Latin America route just because the qualifying school was first.
Okay.
And played great in the qualifying tournament, got full status, so that's the route we were going to. But what that tour does, the feed into the web.com tour, is it gives guys a great place to play every week. You know, they have to travel and see a lot of different places. The big thing about Latin America is you play a lot of different types of golf courses every week. Week by week, you see different grasses, you see different altitudes, you see so many different things that you have to be able to adapt each week. And it's very similar to what we see out here. I mean, this week we're playing on Bermuda grass. Next week, go up to Savannah, it'll be more of the same deal. And then if you go up north, it's a different type of grass. So you have to continually adjust. And it's just a great path and place to play and get better.
So it would be appropriate to maybe liken the three levels that you told us about, right? Canada, China.
Yep.
and then Latin America maybe as double A to where this would be triple A, everybody trying to get to the show that is the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it's a perfect way to describe it. It's much like minor league ball, and that, you know, you're single A, double A, triple A. It's, Webb would be considered a triple A, and PGA Tour being the majors, and that's where we all want to be is the majors. We want to get to that big show.
Look, you're going to lace it up tomorrow, as I'm sure you're well aware, with guys that have been there, a number of them. But the two highlighted players that, look, we love promoting this because we want everyone in Acadiana and from outside of the area to come out and join you guys this weekend, and I promise you they will. Mm-hmm. But Boo Weekly?
Yeah.
And then how about Mike Weir, the lefty from Canada and a Masters champion? That's going to be a fun experience, not just for you, but I think everybody that comes out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, to tee it up against the best players in the world is something that we all strive to do. And to be considered in the same tee sheet as those guys is an honor. And not only that, it's great guys to put your game to the test against. Because, I mean, how do you expect to be the best if you don't play against the best? And whenever you're playing against the best players in the world on their best day, on their best game, you have to elevate to a whole new level where you're going to get lapped. It's like that in all sports.
I'll ask you this, a parting question for you. Jacob Bergeron's been our guest on 103.7 The Game. The most challenging part of playing Le Triomphe is what?
Everything. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but everything's tested. There's not one part of the game that it goes without test. And the flat stick will be tested greatly this week, putter. Short game will be tested as well. It's a very tee shot oriented golf course. If you can get it in play off the tee, then you could score. But everything will be tested. You'll hit every club in your bag on every over the course 18 holes. So it'll be a great test. I'm looking forward to it.
Gotta love it. Running it back, Jacob Bergeron. And Clint, I think it's high time that we get in a leaderboard update. Also, a couple of notable players as well. Round one, Chittimacha, Louisiana Open, presented by Mistras. What can you tell us, brother?
Oh, it's definitely a tight race right now. Day one, pretty much done. A few guys are kind of wrapping up their day. But right now, the top five goes as follows. Vince Covello, 8-under. He started off the day with a bogey, but responded well, had 5 birdies on the back nine. And then it's a pretty crowded house for second place. A 4-way tie for second place between Rafael Campos, Trevor Cohn, Paul Haley II, and Greg Yates, who just wrapped his day at 7-under. We just heard that interview back from Jacob Bergeron. He's tied for 45th alongside Boo Weekly at 2-under. And Mike Weir, rough first round to say the least, tied for 110th. He's currently 2-over.
Mike Weir with a rough day down in Broussard. You hate to hear it. Here's what you love to hear. We got more B2BS, and it's coming on the other side of this break. We will wrap up the show. Time to end where we started, with LSU basketball advancing and continuing to reflect on something. Clint and I, well, we're just two of the people that worked really hard on this, but it is continuing to blow our minds. So we'll share with you next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, closing out shop from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Right back in. 10 minutes of change until 7 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Having fun at the Taproom River Ranch. You hear the crowd behind me? That fun's going to continue. I know. It's not Rhythms on the River. Not just yet. That starts back up next Thursday. But the live music, it continues tonight here at the Taproom. From 8 until 11, Corey Lynn Landry laying down the sound. And I got to tell you, I have seen Corey solo a number of times. I have seen his band, 337, a number of times. They are dynamite. So if you're just looking for something to do on a Thursday night, you want to come out, and I hate to put this plug in, but Clint, the trophy that you and I have earned, best sports radio show in the state this year, it's here right now. We're having some fun taking pictures with it. So come on out. Join us. Eat the flatbread, the wings with the schwing sauce. Enjoy more than 40 beers on tap. Watch the tourney.
and listen to Corey Lynn Landry from 8 until 11. It's going to be a lot of fun. But your big story of the day, certainly, LSU over Yale, 79-74, four players in double figures, one that was near that, Javonte Smart off the bench with 9. And so a fairly well-rounded effort, but you didn't get anywhere near peak performance from either Trey Waters or Naz Reid. Don't get me wrong. 14-10 for the big fella. He had a double-double. You can't knock that. But then again, he turned it over 5 times and wasn't as efficient as he sometimes is from the floor. Trey Waters, 15 points, 7 dimes. Again, productive. But he shot 33% from the field and 20% from 3. I actually see those as really great silver linings. What that tells me is LSU won a win-or-die game, right? A, you know, win-or-go-home game without their best playing at their best. And so what happens if those guys step it up and Skylar Mays continues his form, 19 points, lead all scorers today? Well, look out. That happens. LSU can not only beat Maryland Saturday, whenever the hell they decide to play that game, LSU can win a couple more games. Now, they are going to get matched up with a behemoth if they make it to the Elite Eight, almost certainly if Duke prevails and Chalk reigns supreme on the top half of the East region. But what's interesting today, we've only really seen one, I think you would say, true bout of madness. And that was Murray State, a 12 seed beating number 5 Marquette. Other than that, Clint, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I think every other victor today has been a higher seeded team, right? Or lower seed, you know what I mean, closer to one. And so today it's been a lot of chalk so far. Now there were some instances where it was close, right? I mean, there was an opportunity for Bradley. There was an opportunity, I guess you could even say, for Yale and Belmont. There have been a couple of those really close brushes with an upset, but nobody quite did it except for Murray State. I'm willing to bet my hard-earned money that that changes tonight and certainly going into tomorrow and this weekend. So the round of 64, the round of 32, it's always the craziest. That's just the way the game works. Will that start to take effect? LSU is hoping it doesn't for at least another few rounds. LSU will be the higher-seeded team, and you would think the favorite. Tigers going up against the Terps. In fact, Clint, I hadn't looked that up yet. Let's see if Vegas is ready to dabble on that yet. LSU versus Maryland. I'm not seeing a point spread just yet. Not just yet. We'll see if we can't get that before long. But it should be a lot of fun to watch those two square off. And that has been our big storyline of the day. Tigers win, lead by 18 at the break, start to give it up and backslide a little bit toward the end of the ball game, but they hold on despite Yale making threes, LSU making twos. That math didn't get the Bulldogs ahead for one reason only. When they had to, the Tigers got rebounds, and even more importantly, they made free throws down the stretch. So the Tigers with their first NCAA tournament win since 2009. Now they're going to see if they can take it a step further for the first time since 2006. Tony Benford, largely, I think, has to get a passing grade today. Anybody that wants to put the second half comeback by Yale on Benford, I think that is foolish. I think you didn't watch LSU under Will Wade this year. They did the exact same stuff. And so right now, feel good about it, Tiger fans. You got a chance to really start to make a move in an NCAA tournament. How great does that feel? It's not always the case. Around the world of sports, we've had a few other big storylines today. March Madness obviously taking a lot of the headlines, but we're getting ready for LSU baseball at Georgia, and we've got the pitching rotation, same as it was last weekend. It's still going to be Hess, Henry, Walker as LSU heads to a top 10 program in the Georgia Bulldogs. As far as the Raging Cajuns are concerned, they took one on the chin last night, 7-3. Lost at Tulane. Tuesday, they won 8-3 over Northwestern State, a game that featured a cycle by local product, Hayden Cantrell. UL this weekend will be at home taking on App State. 3-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think there's at least been some mention, we'll confirm this Friday, that perhaps Gunnar Leje may not make that Friday night start. Again, at this point, these are some things I've heard through the grapevine. We'll see if we can't confirm that tomorrow on Friday's show. Big time program today. We got to thank our guest, Hunt Palmer at 4:30. Dynamite. He's a podcasting guru. You can listen to his work, 1045ESPN.com, the podcast Outside the Box. He shares that one with my guy, Charlie Hanegriff, and then Hoops with Hunt. From 5 to 5:30, check KLFY, and another salute to Jeff Horchek, Gerald Grunig, and the entire staff at KLFY TV 10. POSPA 2 named the best TV morning show in the state earlier today. That's big time. We also, about 35, 40 minutes ago, had Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle going all in on the Houston Astros. If you missed any or all of those interviews, there's a simple way to remedy that. Fill that hole in your life. Go to 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app. Click, tap, on demand. You can listen when you want. And that's the beauty of things here with the Acadiana Sports Station. All right, I've got less than a minute left. Big day for Clint and I as well. So, Clint, I want to give you about 30 seconds of this minute. I've given a lot of thanks to our listeners. I have thanked you. How do you reflect on our show being the best sports radio show in Louisiana?
I think it's definitely well-deserved, Ben. All the great stuff that we've had over the last year, like that Manu Duplantis interview, I feel like put us over the top. Mind you, like I said, I feel like now we're getting some recognition. We've been doing the show for almost 5 years at this point in time, and we definitely deserve an award like this. I definitely think we're the best show in Acadiana, and now we can say officially it's the best show in the state of Louisiana.
Clint, I do appreciate everything that you do for the show.
Thank you,
man. We're not going to get too much more mushy. We got to get the hell out of here. I got to go hang out with Corey Lynn Landry at the Tap Room. You've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll catch you tomorrow at 4 from Lutrieff Golf Course and Country Club on 103.7 The Game.